We will open a work session on Senate Bill 1040. 1040A, that is. And the chair is certainly inviting others that I know that would like to give testimony up. And I think Multnomah County would like to come forward and share some. They provided, I think, through Representative Kapori some information, and I have already sent you a little bit of that.
Okay.
And so I think they're facing some of the same issues here and have been. So I think their input is very important.
Good morning. My name is Gina Mattiot, and I'm the director of Multnomah County's Public Affairs Office. I have provided staff yesterday copies of our yellow siding manual. In addition, I have provided, as staff passes out, a document that shows you three things that I think may be of interest to the committee to show that Multnomah County is attempting to address some of the questions and concerns that Senator Wild has addressed in his bill and how we are trying to be proactive in this issue. In the handout, I would ask you to turn to the last page, which is Multnomah County's executive order number 230. This executive order orders our departments to use the siding manual to develop public involvement plans. It also orders the county's department directors to prepare a public involvement plan and to submit those to the chair so that if we hear of a facility that we own or lease, that we can begin a public involvement process. The office that I manage was created last year and became operational in October of 1998. The second page shows you the three facility sightings that we have done. One was the purchase of the Multnomah County building, formerly known as the U.S. Bank building. The second is the relocation of a Community Justice West District office, which we are still working on, working with community leaders on some mediation and addressing those concerns. And the final one was a juvenile day recording center. And then finally, the document on the first page is yesterday, the Multnomah County Board of County Commissioners adopted the budget. In that budget was a proposal that is in front of you that is a project between the City of Portland and Multnomah County on the development of a siting information clearinghouse. And it's my understanding, although this is still in development, that if citizens have concerns or providers have concerns or agencies have inquiries about pending or existing social service siting-related issues or concerns, they could call this program, which would be located in the City of Portland's Office of Neighborhood Involvement. And obviously that is a program that the Public Affairs Office as well as Multnomah County would be working on to address some of those concerns. I know that this is a work session, so I want to keep my comments brief, Chair Welsh, but I would be happy to answer any questions if committee members have them.
Well, I appreciate it. It's work in progress, so that, you know, we're not, the Chair's not planning any big decisions today. We're just trying to also give as much information as possible here. And those who are involved in the same issue, it's really important that we hear from them. So, committee members. Welcome to Multnomah County here, talking about some of the things that 1040 is involved in. So we have good questions available, I hope. Representative Morris.
How long have you been using the process that's outlined in that yellow book?
Chair Welsh, Representative Morgan, it was developed, and I believe the one you have in front of you is the March 98. I believe there was one developed in March 97, and we've been using it since that time, so quite recently.
I'm curious about, as you go through this negotiating process and analyze the suitability of different sites, how many are the three that are in your handout the only ones that have gone through the process?
Chair Welsh, Representative Morgan, there have been previous ones since prior to the development of the Public Affairs Office. There was the county contracted with a private consultant for what is now known as an East County facility, which is houses aging, will house and soon aging and health and law enforcement. Prior to that, there was a facility in North Portland, the parole office. The process that the county went through on that was we talked to surrounding neighborhoods in the St. John's area. That process, the lessons learned from that process was that not all citizens are involved with the neighborhood association. So we needed to take a step back, learn from those that process, and realize we needed to do a much more thorough process where we not only involve members who participate in neighborhood associations, but other community members. So when you look at that sheet that I provided you, it shows that not only do we go to neighborhood associations, but we try to identify community leaders. We sometimes, for lack of a better word, canvass the neighborhood, local businesses to let them know that this is happening. And we hold public meetings, but then we also know that we will at times have to put together neighborhood agreement committees so that neighborhood agreements and plans can be put together.
So what I hear you saying then is that there really is not one cut-and-dried approach that works.
Chair Welch, Representative Morgan, unfortunately not. What we're learning in the Multnomah County Public Affairs Office and as the director is each time a facility needs to be sited, we truly need to look at where it may be, what the facility may be, and the neighborhood. We do have to try to, we try very hard to take a creative approach and make sure that we talk to the community and the citizens. That's what the goal of my office is to bring the community and the county together.
Well, and I do think, too, that going through this book, it's very evident that you've taken great pains to try to consider all points of view, and I commend you for that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not here without it. This is not a simple area, but your focus has pretty much been on public facilities, not on group homes.
Chair Welch, Representative Cruz, that's an excellent question. One of the dilemmas that we face is, as a county, we are able to control, for lack of a better word, the facilities we own and we lease. Where it becomes a little bit more difficult is that we contract with, I believe, one department contracts with over 350 community-based organizations. Since that's a contractual agreement, Ms. Karen Durgo from the Oregon Youth Authority, I think, talks a lot about that, those not difficulties, but those dynamics of working with a contracting agency. One thing that we have talked about in Multnomah County is that when we do put together a contract with those community-based organizations, that in the contract we discuss the possibility of asking them to develop neighborhood agreements. The other thing that we have done in some of our departments is held workshops for our contractors about how to be a good neighbor, and some things they should think about as owners and operators of community group homes. Certain things they should think about, curfew, security, and we've done some of those trainings.
Yes, Mr. Cruz. Just to follow up, it would almost seem like in development of trying to find ways to get at this, we almost create so much bureaucratic red tape that it becomes impossible to ensure that things don't fall through the cracks here. And your relationship and your oversight over public facilities is far different from that of the private or not-for-profit facilities. And we have so many different types of contractual relationships here, and some of them are going to be more directly associated with Portland and with Multnomah County. And, I guess that's what I'm trying to find is some kind of a system that where a member of the public isn't going to get lost in all the red tape and the different tracks they have to follow to try to get remedy to the problem. And I think it's easier to deal with the public facilities. I mean, as you know, I think we still have the real difference when we get down to the group homes, and it's nothing against group homes or the need for them to exist. It's just a matter of accountability to neighbors and citizens and society.
And in some of our Multnomah County, there's our locations I understand that are kind of come under the neighborhoods are under the concern of being oversaturated with these, and that's our concern too. It's a difficult situation, but there's economic determinants here that cause that, the will in every community, and how do we get past some of that and still able with our present policy today to bring these people back into the community and protect the community at the same time and all the conflicting interests here. I think that's your challenge also. And that's what this bill is certainly addressing. But I know that public fighting of public facilities is something that's always had great, I think, not a bad review process and public participation process. And it doesn't mean everybody is aware when it does occur or pays attention or understands what could happen if something's vital. But I think the process has been there to make sure that this, as many people as possible will know before there is a fight. But we have today the concern that, and I'm assuming it was a process in Eugene that there's public hearings and everything else, but then what developed afterwards isn't what exactly was portrayed through the hearing process, and there's concern there too.
Okay. I think that the question or comment that Representative Cruz was talking about in regards to saturation, I think that's been, I mean, the siting process is one thing and saturation of neighborhoods is another issue. And I think that that's what the city and the county have been working together to coordinate efforts with what happens with different agencies, site different facilities, and even though the process may be great, then you have...
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's what the sheet that she gave us was, the siting information clearinghouse, the siting dispute resolution program, and then the information of the...
just document that you have it.
These all together
are
what
are,
for the city and the county are trying to address
these problems.
It's an ongoing.
Mr. Sherman,
Representative Murphy. The county has obviously had a lot of help in siting facilities. If the county would consider assigning a task force to assist us in the siting of a police
Representative Murphy, next question, please. I think that's
it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We heard testimony when we heard this major previously that there was to be a meeting on Monday evening between the city and the county working on this issue. You're aware of that and you can speak down on the nature of that.
Representative Taylor, yes, I am aware of the meeting, and our office has had some preliminary involvement with that. This is, again, as Representative Kofori mentioned, a work in progress. We had a meeting with concerned citizens in the inner southeast area in early February to talk about the issue of saturation and how do we deal with making sure there's some lines of communication. This meeting on Monday is, again, a next step in that process where we will hear from the citizens about the proposal that we put together and hopefully come to some understanding or agreement on how we want to proceed with that issue. Again, we feel like we've done something about the process, and now we need to address some other elements of this very complex issue of siting.
Mr. Chair, just one further question. It's sort of my assumption that most of the protests from neighborhoods and citizens comes prior to the siting. Has that been your experience, that once they're sited, you don't actually get a lot of complaints about the behaviors from neighbors, or not? Is that too broad an assumption?
Chair Welch, Representative Taylor, I can really only speak to the three that my office has been directly responsible for. The first one, which was really an administrative move, people were concerned about transportation to the facility. The second one was a day reporting center. It was just increasing the number of residents in that facility. We thought because of the focus of that facility, there would be some controversy, but what we found was very little controversy. And to be quite honest with you, some kind of not annoyance or vexation from residents and schools. Why are you bothering us with this issue? This is, and then another issue, our community justice center and the moving of the probation office, which is located up on Southwest 10th, and moving that down to Southwest 6th. Again, the residents and the clients, the sensitivity of that issue, we're moving from a leased facility to an owned facility. So to just cut to the chase of your question, there really is the reaction and the response can be varied. So, but I think that the tool of a neighborhood agreement is a place where concerns can be addressed, and there can be a document, there can be some type of agreement, and when that isn't addressed, then there are steps within the city of Portland and others where we can address those concerns.
Other questions? We certainly appreciate you coming down and sharing with us. And I'm not sure it would be this. We're going to continue, though, I think, in a work group process here. So that, would you be available if we had other questions at some point in time?
Sure, well, sir, I'd be happy, and I think I could speak on behalf of our board and our department heads. They'd be more than happy to assist in this issue in any way they can. And thank you very much for the opportunity to be here.
Thank you. I wanted to share with everyone that we did get some more information. We got the opinion here from Legislative Council, provided you on the 24th, some good information. We do have two sets of amendments here that pertain to what we were asking in this particular, in the chair's request here about the federal possible conflicts with the Fair Housing Act and Disabilities Act. And they do point out that the dash A6, which we do not have, the dash A9, which we do have before us, pretty well take care of what they see as conflict within the bill. So that's important, I think, to note. Let's see. We are presently trying to get our hands on the dash A6, and so we can take a look at those. And we'll probably have those. I think we'll be meeting also this afternoon, so we'll maybe have a chance to have the A6 to talk about those. We also have a letter from, I'm not sure each member got that. It did not come on official letterhead, but it is from the governor's office here. And I think it was provided to a member on the committee, a possible outline of a work group process around this issue for Senate Bill 1040, and has some very good, I think, recommendations and some issues and questions to ask of the committee or of the work group. And I think I appreciate that, and we'll talk certainly further with the governor's office, because they should be part of this whole process also, and are, as far as I'm concerned. Always when it's in the committee, they are part of it, as far as I'm concerned. So we just don't have it officially. And did you receive anything, anyone here? Okay. And then I'll just say that it isn't on official letterhead, but it is from staff, okay? And that we will be talking a little more about it, and a good outline if we want to extend over into a further working group. But right now, I'd like to continue here as a working group on this issue and try to establish what we're going to need for a possible piece of legislation as we facilities in sometime before the end of the month, right?
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you for that, anyway. Okay, is there anyone else who want to come forward and chat right here that feels is important? Feel free. Yes. I think that's what it is.
Good morning again, Karen Brazone, the Deputy Director for the Youth Authority. I just read the Dash 9 amendments and the letter that came from Legislative Council. And while I think Legislative Council's analysis it makes sense in how you might imagine that these houses are sited or facilities are sited, it doesn't really cover the federal legal issues because of the way the programs are set up. And I will give you an example is we do not necessarily set up programs that serve only youth who have drug and alcohol problems. Most of the youth who become delinquents have drug and alcohol problems and are under some kind of treatment for those issues, although they may be in a home with other youth who don't have those problems, but by far the large majority of our youth are subject to the ADA and fair housing because of that issue. So if we were to only set up homes specific to that treatment, we would probably still have the protections. However, because we have youth in all of these homes, I think we would continue to have the protections and still would have conflict. That was kind of a convoluted explanation that I get there.
Madam Senator, within this bill, we've got facilities, hiding issues, criminal record, and activity, and non-adjudicated activity concerns and issues, and mental disability issues also, and so it's, there's possible conflicts all the way through this.
Yes, and Mr. Chair,
and age group issues.
The private nonprofits that I'm aware of who has brought forward the ADA and fair housing issues have not done that on the basis of the youth delinquency, but on their other recognized federally recognized disabilities.
Right.
So there's never been, to my knowledge, any attempt to say that delinquency as such is a disability.
Mm-hmm.
It's the associated problems that lead to the delinquency.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you. Karen. Anyone else? Okay.
Mr. Chair, I've been impressed with the number of persons who have spoken against this bill on the kind of seemingly insurmountable problems it has, and no one really speaking for it except the author of it. I wonder if we're really going to continue down this path and try to do that or something that is already being done pretty well, it seems to me.
Understand that, but I think we will next week very possibly have testimony from others. You can certainly check that up. I have concerns within the community, association, neighborhood. It's that from the bill's out here that those requests are mounting, so we just have to pick a day and we'll have testimony. That's an approved.
My feel is that those who are in opposition to the bill are in opposition to the bill the way it is, not in opposition to finding some way to deal with the situation. So mm-hmm. I think it does behoove us to, I mean, Multnomah County has put a lot of time, a lot of resources into trying to find solutions, and I think that our job is to try to help find solutions to problems. And I don't think anybody would deny that there are problems here that it would be nice to find solutions for. So We're going to be here in months with nothing else to do. We might as well try to fix this one.
I concur with Representative Cruz on this one. I think that what I'm hearing from the people that have participated in the process is that there is a recognition that there is a problem here, and that we need to try to find some middle ground that respects the rights of the adjoining property owners but allows these very necessary facilities to exist. And I think that that's the challenge that this committee needs to grapple with.
And I think that's what we're trying to identify here. And a good piece of legislation is a whole lot better than I think dumping out something that we're not sure of. We haven't identified all the problems and create some opportunities here to improve the system. And I think a lot of our neighbors are asking for that because as the population increases, the problems increase also.
The only neighbor I heard was from Representative Mestrelli, who said they were good neighbors. So I guess I'm really confused about why.
Well, there's different. There are a whole bunch of different group home situations. Some within.
In my district, a lot of them.
Within, in mine too, within cities, and some outside of cities, and some correction facilities, OYA, and. CRSC and everything. So we've got to identify where we're really realizing some problems and some real concerns from our community members.
I think that it very possibly would be a positive experience for the committee to hear testimony from some of the types of people that are impacted by these, and perhaps what we could do by that is try to kind of see if we could categorize what the problems are and maybe try for some solutions from that direction.
Exactly. Very good.
I'd be more than glad to bring forward neighbors to group homes in my district where I have not heard a human cry for this kind of measure. I think I've also served on the board of a shelter that does have multi-problem persons there, and we locate them in an area where they have access to some of the needed services. They are of necessity within a city. It seems to me that if we took the attitude of this measure, we would like to remove these facilities to some exclusive farm use area probably, and so we don't have any neighbors at all, and yet we have the attitude that reclamation of juveniles is a possibility. I'm just having a real hard time enthusing at all about doing this legislatively when I see it being done on a local level.
Well, I think what I would like to do within my own community is also make sure that those existing group homes have an opportunity to talk about it and some of their neighbors, the ones that are very successful, and find out what has made them successful and those that are not. And that's what we're trying to do. When we realize that there could be an increased number of them, and with the policy presently in this state, we need to try to clean up the process and make sure that it's going to be a friendly one as much as possible.
Mr. Chair,
that's in your question.
I think I'd like to make it clear what the work group is, and if there's a formal work group that people with real experience in this, such as the representatives from the county, are not just available for consultation, but are full-fledged members. Quite frankly, the state itself has not figured out how to site facilities. The communities, however, have been wrestling with this in immense detail and effort. And hardly a month goes by that a city council such as Portland or the Montgomery County Commission doesn't deal with some aspect of siting. And so they have years of experience, years of trying to develop protocols, consultation, neighborhood forums, feedback loops to address these things. And I can tell you, in siting housing facilities, as I was involved in fact, innumerable examples of the city and county being involved in this process. My concern is that we,
without that breadth of background and without the knowledge on creativity of how individual communities have chosen to work out a social contract, if you will, within their own boundaries, may come up with a one-size-fits-all, A, based not upon the experience that the communities themselves have, and second, without recognition that communities do have distinct strategies that they've developed over time to fit their particular citizens' preferences. And so it's with some reservation that I feel we are investing a lot of energy here, and maybe there's other work that would more merit our time.
Appreciate that, President McQueen. Any other comments? Very good. We close work session on Senate Bill 1040. And we will.
Okay. I think so too. Mr. Chair, can I ask one more thing that relates to the bill? We were just handed some A6 amendments. What exactly are these?
They were referred to in legislative council.
I think you'll find that the A6s are all included in the 9s, and the 9s have some more things that the 6s didn't have.
Okay.
We do not have the amendments that have been worked on yesterday for House Bill 3633, so we will be meeting at what time, Carol?
I can't remember. We're going to meet at 2 o'clock in this room to do House Bill 3633, and we'll have the amendments be ready by then. Also, Senate Bill 1149 will be sent back from the floor.
From the floor.
Our committee, which we will be adopting conflict amendments at 2 o'clock and sending it back out.
And I think all we do have the conflict amendments.
You and I have them
prepared.
We'll have them ready for you at our committee.
On 1149.
We can't schedule 1149 until they give it to us, which is why they send us nothing.
Right. Okay. Having no further business, we're adjourned.
I'm a real man made with.